Good morning. Everybody happy? I always have to ask that little sort of a thing because just because it's one of my happy, I'm giving you a chance. Is it really ugly to really happy? It's such an honor to be here. And to realize that Jesus Christ is true and on the throne, changes it now, so that the pastor is with you forever. Is that the good thing? You know that there are very, very few people in this family that can pass the churches to the throne of God. And I say that as a huge compliment to stick a bullet. Because in this work of pastoring, it's not easy. I'm the evangelist, so I am blessed to be 5 to 5 and have to be the church. And the shelf life is very, very limited. And because we need to pay the crowd, they're going to pay me. And so they need that steady hand on the ship for the Lord. And down in the view path for work, but often traveling various countries and so on as an evangelist. And what it takes, the type of spirit of an individual to touch the community that's a pastor. And I say this with all honesty and with every bit of honesty and peace in my heart. He's one of the kindest men I've ever met in my life. He's true. But he's been an example, not only to me, but to the community for much worse than he was a Christian. And we had that kind of a track record on our table for very, very few of our conferences. I think it was very bad over the years. I think it was more than 50 years. No longer a passion, but he declared his word. He just can't stop, and he's only got 105 years old. And so, but it was great. I tried the retirement thing for Michael Street, and it lasted a whole 8 months. You can only watch the fire so many times. You can only take out the garbage so many times. You can only do some of the things that your wife wants you to do so many times. Retirement is busy and expensive. And when your wife wants an agenda, it's a cost in your life. So I think about the work with more convenient to my home. So here we are, and happy. And so this has been awesome. And I was in a state passing when I called one day. Actually, before that, a month before I got this phone call, I was going down the 401, and I felt the Holy Spirit speaking to me. Because when I was talking to Tom, I was speaking to him. Listening to something about that, but I kind of happened to be doing this for 2 minutes ago. And the Lord spoke to me and said, prepare yourself to change. And I told my wife, and I said, I think the Lord spoke to me, son. And we did that, probably me. Because I didn't know what was going to get into the next day, you know. But we've been through things over the years. And so I told him what I saw in the church. Unfortunately, this is not the same thing. Unfortunately. And so it was a month ago, I had a phone call with two girls. So here we are. And I thank God because I could have been on the other side of things like that. But I didn't want to do it. I didn't do it. The less beautiful part. But I do get to travel with the guys who sleep in the few times out of the year. And that's a bit enough to pass the road, but it's too much for me. And but the women, because my father is here, beautiful daughters, they're the ones that I bring that back to Christ for, and we love every one. The toughest part of this job to me, because I'm not hands on to believe that the women's side of the group and the group and the staff and the soldiers, and the team of the ladies are with the choir, and the team of the men with the choir director, and this bond is greater than the world. He's one of the most unique people in the church today because you've got to think about this. You've got women coming and going to graduate and to go because they come in at different times. So, you know, this month there, I think she graduates last month, somebody else did, and months before that, there's two of the others who graduate. So they're always coming and going, and she still has to carry the choir. And she's training. If it was me, I'd be on the train inevitably, you know what I'm saying? So that just wouldn't work for me, but she does this stuff, and love it for us, and just got to work in the office, and she's been coming along with it as well, and trying to make things change and so on. So they're dedicated people. And I look back, and see the name of it, so this is one of our staff persons as well. This woman is a certified Global Gifts and Talents for Women. She's lovely. She's also a worship leader and a musician. And even though we have bands here today, she is a bus driver, knows how to do a circuit, check out how to start a DJ in cold weather. So, yeah. So, they're amazing, amazing gifts and people. And sometimes they're a bunch of fashion, and volunteers, guys, and bus, and so on. But the fifth fashion and God's view is the same as Christ can do in terms of life. Because in this book, he's going to see that good. The one that everybody should find. Written by Bruce Mohan, tells the story of the three young people in British Columbia who believed, along with their doctors, that their mental illness was triggered by marijuana. All three spent months in hospital psychiatric wards and still wage a battle for their illness. Today's super potent pot may be a big part of the problem. Modern growing techniques have dramatically decreased the amount of THC in psychoactive ingredients in marijuana, ramping up the threat of developing brain damage in humans. But there is an intriguing twist to the story. The process of cultivating more potent strains of pot grows and also been breeding out a little known ingredient called more psychosis producing THC and less of this production of CBD. So I've been talking to a variety of people about this whole deal. And since the 70s, marijuana, they say, is anywhere from 25 to 50 times more potent than what it was back then. One of our girls who just graduated from our program was in our program because he was hooked on medical their life. Such a great thing to be helping people with. Not just some of men, but it has to have the CBD component to it, or else it's just another addictive substance that will kill them later on down the road. Just so. And one other just little thing that I want to throw in here, because the first thing is over, you really have to contact the doctor here to show up on, because you do by yourself and enjoy it, that is a good one. About one student in 50, that's 2%, said he or she used pot at least once in the past year. This is about 19,300 students here in New Jersey. So, we have a problem. We have a problem in our nation, we have a problem in our government, because we have a problem that people want to believe the lies and drugs. I said earlier today, 1,600 people will die on highways alone this year just from alcohol use. Since they legalized Colorado, the first year alone, traffic accidents dropped since they legalized marijuana. Traffic accidents in the first year alone went up 37%. Hospitalizations up over 64% because of the use of the drug. Not only that, and again, Friday night, I stumbled on a document that was happening because of doing this, and you're not, it doesn't do it to the city at all. We're going back and looking at the problem of its use. In Colorado, right now, they said, well, if we legalize this, well, we're going to have the revenue coming into the government. This is going to be more revenues in there. They'll do this to the state now. The problem is, the revenue coming in, as it is with alcohol, does not even come close to the health and medical criteria or prices that it's generating. So all they're doing is saying we're going to legalize this and they're giving a signal, go ahead and do it to our populace. And then when they wind up in the hospital, and all the great money and all the great supply of blood money, all they're doing is wrecking lives, and they still don't have enough money for anything in their coffers because it's got to go toward the medical bills. And nobody's telling you anything about that. You're not going to hear it from these people, and you're sure not going to hear it from the government. Because everybody seems to want this to happen. So, dear friends, need your help because we're going to be able to do this. Some ways that we can do that is, I have this thing here called card release. If you've got a card, you might be taking rid of it, and they don't give you enough for you, you want to save it, so it's not even worth doing it. Then you can donate it to T-Town. We'll take your car, we'll take your pickup truck, we'll take your SUV, we'll take your RV, we'll take your grandkids, students, we'll do the work. And it's a great program. We can come and pick this thing up and take it away. We'll be mad at the husband that's locking in the car and we'll donate it to him. That's a good thing. Lots of the program coming up for the government. And what happens with this team here, you see, two towns didn't have people, and they didn't have government response. Because if they did, they wouldn't get it anyway, because then they want to control it. Because they want Christ as a focus. And the mission has been declared, Canada is a secular nation. And that was actually told all the time, and then the armed forces not to use the military. It's a prayer that we use in prayer publicly.
Thank you.
with that feather in it. If you're not loaded in my hands, so I have fallen from your eyes. So I said, be darkness, the Lord is with me. Have you ever felt unloved, unwanted, and unwanted because there was guilt and shame? Well, that was me, but no longer am I that person. This is my story, the God's story. Hello, my name is Amanda, and I was raised in Labrador with my dad, mom, and sisters. I am the middle child. My dad was not home much when I was young, and he was away working most of the time. But my dad was home, though, there was a lot of fighting between them. They left my mom to raise her by herself. My mom was struggling with anger. I remember my mom spent a lot of time in bed while me and my sisters were in my house. But she did get up to just be like the same thing. She was yelling at me to the smallest things. As a child, I didn't think she loved me. So I was trying to do my best to take care of her. Whatever I did, I always seemed like it was wrong, and I couldn't take care of her. One of my sisters told me she needed to get up to my bed. I felt like I was never good enough. This left me so uncomfortable. My dad was often talking to me against me. He was a thing for me. So I spent most of my time in the church. At a very young age, I was a dream to be a good guy. The things that made me feel like I looked like this was actually the love of the person. I took on the game to be taken from more potential to open the door for the person. I was now doing anything to make myself happy and feel good. These were all the states for me to help me to feel accepted and accepted more. So I continued with the love of the person. During this time, I was a career Sunday school, and for some reason, I couldn't find a Sunday school. The only place I felt at peace was when I was with my family and friends. But I stopped going to my room at the age of 12 and I started smoking. And it was at that same time that I was accepted in the school. This left me totally alone, and I hated myself and I didn't know where to go to and what to do. I did a self-esteem and I knew my family and I had a good time with them. I eventually did give up my kids, but not for God, for Christmas.
pay structure when you buy these things. To me, that's the same as much. Getting high for days, you can be wasted. That was my new sex. A year and a half after I ended up with 31 chances. On November 7th, 2004, I gave myself to the Lord. While still loved continuing to be suffering. In the May of this year, I came upon my life where I was sick. So frustrated, I gave myself to the Lord with the rest of my life, but still didn't have my kids. So I was in my mom's closet, a bit too much suicide, which is tough. But it's in her house, but it's in the closet, and took me out of it, took me out of the room, and put me to the rest of my life. And this is where I became very close to the Lord. I knew with him who brought me there to keep the same story going down. He also had my undivided attention to serve as a friend of God at that point. I got out of jail in July and arrived at the doors, which was done through his prayer with the help of the Lord and my wonderful pastor, and my family. Since I've come in here, I'm no longer in bondage of prison. And with the help of the Lord, I've been here learning what it means to be truly loved, wanted, and wanted. Through God's love, grace, and mercy. I'm learning how to deal with feelings instead of trying to mend them, and what I have done is not who I am. And I'm a child of God who's worked through learning how to be a mother to my children, to let go of the guilt and shame, and most importantly, to know what love is towards others and myself. One thing that is helping me the most is everything has a past, and everything has a future. It doesn't matter how far the past and the enemy has been, God's hand is strong enough to get to my life, and He wants to take care of it. All you have to do is ask. 1 Peter 5:10, and the God of all grace, who is called you into His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast, and then be the glory forever and ever. And what does that say with your attention to the Lord?
Thank you.
That girl was there because she wasn't allowed to be with the women between the two of them during the evening after 6 o'clock to go away. She was ostracized, called all the men. I don't know if she had children or not, man. I don't know. She didn't know. But she said, five husbands. And why did she say she had a husband? She wasn't going to sit. A lot of people in that girl's life. And Jesus. In other words, don't you get him. He knows. He's with God. Because none of us walk in the world of perfection. But we have a heavenly Father that we're not going to accept. He'll come to us. And he'll meet us right where we are because he loves us. It's not what he's done, it's what we're revealing. The world shouldn't consider the world. So I don't know what's going on in your life. That might be the best thing in the world. And here's what we're going to do. All praise and glory and praise. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to mark your son. I'm not going to ask you to do it. You need to get up. I'm going to ask you to do it. I'm going to ask you to do it. But today, this is between you and Jesus and the Jesus Christ. And I want to say something. And I want to make it clear. It's a break of prayer. It's something that needs to be broken. It's really a good news. Nobody's looking around this room anyway. The only one I ask you to do is to read this prayer. If you stand around before the Lord, you're more than two. Just lift your hand and read that prayer. From your mother's womb. And right now, Lord, we lift them up to you. And I say in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, be free. Be free. Hallelujah. Father, everything that the enemy has thrown at them, every lie that's been told, every thing, Lord, that they feel about themselves or unworthiness or unfitness, Lord, because of the cross you made us worthy, you made us fit because you have brought us in. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you today. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done through the shedding of your blood, for the remission and the washing away of our sins. So, Father, today we come to you asking, O God, that you will not only forgive us, but you will not only wash us, but that, Lord, every man and woman in this place of great value will be free from this business. So, Father, we commit this work, this thing that you're doing in this church, O God, with his mind. With your good care, you will be a good people. Thank you, Lord, for passing them out. It's too much for us as well. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.